Thank you for joining Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. and Wednesday Bible study begins at 7 p.m. Now, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we're faithful, we're bold, we believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the Word of God. Again, I want to thank you for joining the online service of Cornerstone of Grace. If you're looking for a church home, growth, and ministry, I want to invite you to join us, grow with us, and be blessed with us. Now, on Wednesday, every Wednesday, just a few more Wednesdays left in this month, but we're fasting from 12 a.m. to 3 p.m. You know, the Bible tells us that some things come by prayer and fasting. So during this time of consecration, we're praying and asking God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, I like to use this particular analogy to make that point very clear. If you had $1,000 combined with God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it will go a lot further than if you just had $1,000. Because many will take $1,000 and treat it as if it's $100. It won't go very far. But wisdom, knowledge, and understanding takes what we currently have and what we're going to receive. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And bless us to go further than what our common sense will take us. And so let's pray and ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It's going to help us in relationships. It's going to help us in at work. It's going to help us in all the right places. And most of all, our relationship with God. And with that being said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your kindness, and how you have watched over and kept us, Lord God, throughout this day. For blessing us, Lord God, to fast and to seek you, Lord God, as we go to school, as we work, as we relax, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lord, we just want to bless you, Lord God, and be found pleasing in your sight. Lord God, help us, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us. We need your help. You said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of you. And you've already expressed in your word that people, your people, perish because of a lack of knowledge, Lord God. And there's so much knowledge that is available and at our fingertips today. However, we need to know how to use it properly. And we need to have a clear understanding of how to use it, Lord God, so that we get the most out of it. And we know that by acknowledging you, your word says, if we acknowledge you in all our ways, that you shall direct our path. Lord God, and so we're asking that you would help us, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. If there's any sick among us, Lord God, if there's any that are feeling a certain way because of whatever the situation is, you know and you understand those things. We pray and ask that you would bless them, Lord God, and that you would bring them out. Pray for your deliverance, Lord God, and let all things line up according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're in the book of Genesis, touching what is referred to as the law of particularization. We're moving from the general to the particulars, the universe, earth, man, and spirit. We're touching the creation and a principal person who is the cosmological cause of, which is the cause of all things, and the teleological, which is the designing mind behind everything. You won't find anything that's made that wasn't made without him. And that is the word of God. And the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And as John writes, we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so here we are in the book of Genesis. We're in the 21st chapter. So we're just about halfway through the book of Genesis and taking a granular look at things. In other words, we're really just looking at what is transpiring in the lives of these individuals. You know, we're rolling back the time of history and we're seeing what they did and how they coped with these situations. There was, you know, every situation that they dealt with impacted them mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, so there was some type of impact, if not all of three, maybe it just have been two, or maybe it was, well, I can't even say one, because when you hurt physically, it does something to you emotionally. When you're hurting emotionally, it can do something to you physically. And so we're seeing this, you know, and not to mention the, you know, at the core of everything is the spirit of man and how we are impacted. And so the Bible tells us here in the 21st chapter, beginning at the 18th verse of Genesis, it says, "Arise, lift up the lad." Now, this is the Lord speaking to Hagar. And so lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And Habakkuk 2, let's read Habakkuk 2, beginning at the first verse. It says, "I will stand up on my watch, and I will set up on the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it shall speak." The vision is yet for appointed time, but at the end, it shall speak. It is going to speak. It's going to happen. And so it's for an appointed time, and it is going to speak and not lie. It's not going to tarry. Though it tarry, wait for it. Though it hasn't come. It didn't come overnight, as we would, so many of us would like for things to happen instantly. It didn't. But wait for it. Wait for it. We have to wait for it. Another scripture tells us to be patient. You know, patience possesses our soul. Our soul salvation comes with patience, but listen, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And so want to talk a little bit this evening and hopefully to encourage your heart. And that is, can you see it? Will you live by it? Because this is what God asked Hagar to do. The Bible said that that he opened her eyes and he told her, "I'm going to make him a great nation." So sometimes seeing is believing. Now we already know this, and we've told this, we've been raised with so many cliches and so many truths. Now, I'm not a big cliche person or anything like that, because some cliches are just not true. They sound good, but they're not solid as we think they are. And then there are other things that are true. A picture is worth 1,000 words. That's not just a cliche. That's a true saying. That's a fact. So sometimes seeing is believing, and other times not seeing and believing has even a greater impact. So let me say that again. Sometimes seeing is believing, and other times not seeing and believing has an even greater impact. Now, I say that because of the inspired word of God coming from the prophet Habakkuk, who said the just shall live by their faith. Now, what is the just living by? Well, he said Habakkuk was in a situation and asked a question, and he said, I'm going to stand on my watch, and I'm going and set me up on the tower, and we'll watch to see what he shall say unto me. And so in waiting to see what God has to say, that is faith, that is believing that something is going to be said, there lies the element of hope. And what he shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. It's not confusing. It's very clear. And some things are clear only to those that want to be clear. There are times that we want things to as an excuse, we ask for it to be simplified even more than what it is. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, and here's a key part of that, it's tarrying, it didn't come instantly, wait for it. Now, waiting for it requires our patience, and it requires a hope. And faith is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't have hope, then you don't have faith. Hope is the root element of faith. And so the Bible tells us in John that Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So this is after the resurrection. And the disciples therefore said unto him, they're telling Thomas that we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Now, many have preached messages saying that Thomas doubted, and old doubting Thomas, and people are called, use that to cut other people and tell them you're a doubting Thomas and different things. Thomas didn't say anything wrong. You know, you can say what you would like to say about it, but Thomas is looking from a perspective that I believe Thomas was looking from a perspective that there have been other people that have made claims, and their claims was not true. And here we are, he's despondent. The man that was discipling him is gone, and he's yet processing all of this. Everyone does not process everything the same way. And so he said, I need to see this for myself. I need my own proof, and then I will believe in it. And the Bible said, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And this time, Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus. Jesus came through the wall. The door was shut. He came to the wall. Now, if you've seen the movie Flash, he vibrates until he's able to walk through the wall. Jesus didn't have to vibrate and disturb his molecules to walk through the wall. It didn't. That doesn't apply to him. That scientific element that they present, it doesn't apply. He walked through the wall and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And so Jesus confronts it because he knows what has transpired. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And so he's amazed. He's in awe, as many of us are when God shows up and shows out, when God presents things that there are times that you may have and was hoping. But yet at the same time, there was an element of disbelief that, will it happen for me? And then it happens and you're like, oh my God, and oh God, you're glorified and magnifying God in such a way in that moment. But the Bible said that Jesus responded and said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me," seeing is believing. Remember, we mentioned that a little earlier. "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." Because you've seen me, you believe. Now here is the power of belief without seeing. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. So those of us that have not seen, we haven't seen any form of a manifestation of what we're hoping for, but yet we are believing wholeheartedly that is it. And I'm even going to go this route with it. But yet you're believing there is some hope within you that may not be 100%. It may not even be 90%. But yet you're saying, "I am hopeful. I don't know if he's going to do it, but I know he has the ability to do it. And I'm putting my faith in him." I like what Mother Jenkins says. She says that that I'm going to stick with the God that I know. And so she is making reference to the true and living God, not ceramic, not wood, not metal, not mythical, but the true and living God. I'm going to stick with the God that I know, the one that created the universe, the one that is pouring his spirit out upon the table of our hearts and filling us with the Holy Ghost, those that are tarrying and believing and receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence that those in the Bible had. And so you want it just like the Bible says that you can have it. And so we see, and I'm not going to go too far into that, but you want it like the Bible says, because you want everything in which, as the Bible has proclaimed, that is for his saints. And so, yes, God calls his people out, even from Genesis, where Jude received a word and said that Enoch prophesied that the Lord is returning with 10,000s of his saints. And so you want to be in that number. Let's go on here. The Bible said the Lord spoke to Hagar and said, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation." Now, you know the situation that was occurring. Hagar has been kicked out of her home, the home that she knew, the home that she lived in for so many years, and you know, and the home that she's known, and she gave birth to her son. She's now married to Abram, and they have a child, and she's being told, "You have to go." And not only is she being told, "You have to go," but her son, who is now about 14 years old, the only man that he's known as dad, is telling them to leave. And that's pretty hard. That's a pretty rough situation to be in. And if you've ever been through a divorce, if you've been through as a child, or even as an adult, going through a divorce, you know that the unraveling of the roots of that situation is very strenuous, to say the least. And so she was told to arise, because now she's in the desert. She's in a place where she's just waiting to die. She don't know what to do. The anxiety level is high. The frustration is overwhelming, not just her, but it's also overwhelming Ishmael, who is crying, and "I'm hungry," who is crying, "What are we going to eat?" who is crying, "I'm thirsty." They're parched in the desert. And so here they are. And so the Lord visits and says to arise and take the lad up into your hand. Hold him. And as in holding, you know, in holding your child, they feel comforted in that moment. And it doesn't matter how old that child is. even our adult, our children want to be hugged and held by mom or by dad or, you know, or their mentor, someone that they feel comfort, they feel secure around. Now, we can say all day long that God is holding you in his hands, but it's nothing like when you walk up and you give your son and daughter a hug. It means, arise means to get up or to stand up. You're going to have to, now you're going to have to move. It's time to reposition yourself. And so there is a time to lay down and there's a time to get up. And so the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, it speaks to us regarding time in various situations. It talks to us about the seasons and it talks to us about purpose and about birth and death and planting and plucking up. It talked to us about a time of killing and healing, breaking down and building up and weeping and laughing and mourning and rejoicing, dancing and, you know, and casting stones and gathering stones. And it's just a time to do a various amount of things. And so it's just our timing sometimes is off. We need to make sure that our timing is correct in what we do. And so it's a time to get, a time to lose, and a time to cast away. And, you know, I was speaking with someone and they wanted to talk about the employment situation and on a job and calling the people wicked and stuff. No, it's business. It's a time to that in evaluating things that they may not have needed your service. And so you would be let go at that point. Our job, our responsibility is to fortify ourselves and understand this in such a way that when that time comes, that we have something to fall back on. We've increased our skill set instead of doing the same job over and over again, doing it the same way over and over again. That we increase our knowledge, we go to school and we obtain some more skill sets and different things so that when that time comes, it becomes a time of change, not a time of complaint, because change occurred and we weren't prepared for it. And so there is a time to love and a time to hate, war and peace. So Ecclesiastes talked to us about time. And at this time, Hagar is being told to arise. Now, originally, Hagar was sent back to Sarah, but the time has come and she's been permanently sent away from home, sent away from her employment, sent away from her comfort zone. And that happens in life. You know, that, and sometimes it's God that is causing us to be discomforted. And so you have to realize that everything is not the devil. All right. And so maybe you've been in a situation that is similar to this. You know, you might have been given a pink slip. You're given a blue folder. I've been given a pink slip before. I've been given a blue folder before, you know, and asked a different realities begin to appear. You think about rent, mortgage, car note, and bills and different things, and your comfort zone is disrupted with no immediate resolve in sight. But you're believing that God is going to take care of you and that everything is going to be all right. This is what Hagar's world had become. She was disrupted, comfort zone displaced, and things was spinning out of control in that moment. The Bible tells us in that 19th chapter, it said, and God opened her eyes. God opened her eyes. Now, your eyes being opened, you may have a vision. You may have a dream. You may receive a word that registers in your spirit and it becomes part of you and you can't shake it even if you wanted to. You don't want to, but even if you wanted to, you couldn't because it was real. It was a real word, a ready word in due season. And so the Bible said he opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. She saw some relief. She saw something that she did not see before because she couldn't see it. There's some things you're not going to see until the time is right. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And so now not only is Ishmael refreshed, but she is refreshed. And so God opened her eyes. Now we have to pause here for a moment, because Hagar was in despair. She was filled with concerns, uneasiness. She was filled with fear. She was crying. Her throat was parched from crying. Now, if you ever cried, you felt overwhelmed, and you felt, and what you were feeling drained you of your strength. You can imagine that she was there. You know, there's a lack of water and other necessities. There is a lot of things going on in her mind, just like it would be going on in your mind, even though you may even be praying. The Bible don't say that she was, you know, it said that she cried out, you know, and so in your crying out, let's put it this way, in your crying out, there's still a lot going on in your mind, and you're wondering what is it all going to come to? So even with the tearing eyes, the dry mouth from crying, you know, the lack, after a while, our words become scarce because of the tears and because of what we're going through, the concerns and fears. God superseded the emotional state and showed her a vision. In her anxiety, in her stress, I love what the psalmist said. He said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry. And that is a personal testimony of mine. It, in my distress, when I was stressed. And so in our distress, God knows how to cut through all of that. He knows how to navigate our distress and get to where we are and show us and comfort us and give us what we need for the rest of the journey. And so even with tearing eyes, from her dry mouth and concerns and fears, God superseded the emotional state of Hagar and showed her a vision. And he spoke to her regarding Ishmael. Now, I want you to go back in your mind and think about what dreams God may have showed you and how from that moment that you had that dream, that you had that vision, or you received that word that things did not go immediately the way that you thought they would go, you may have fell into a situation as Hagar did and was discomforted by what was going on. And so knowing this, you have to keep your eyes and your ears open. You have to embrace the word that was spoken to you in the dream or openly, audibly, or maybe through the reading of the word God gave you as scripture, and you have to embrace that and hold on to it like Hagar did, because that's the only hope that she had was what God showed her, what he said to her. And so she saw it and she had to live by that. Now, what has God showed you? And are you living by what he said? Are you living by it? Listen, the Bible tells us, now let's go over this again, because we don't want to miss this, that she was told to get up. As weak as she may have felt, as despondent as she was told to arise and to take the lad and hold him in her hand. Now, he was not with her sitting there, because the Bible tells us that she had left him under a tree and she went over a distance about an arrow's shot from where he was. So she was not sitting right next to him. So she had to get up, physically move herself over to where he was and pick him up. And picking him up, he would have felt some sort of comfort and security by his mom holding him, as children do. And then God opened her eyes. and she saw the water. I just need you to marinate, let that marinate in your spirit for a moment there. And so then she went over, she acted upon what she saw. And so we have to act upon what we see. You have to, when you see it, and I didn't say imagine it in your mind, but that's a good place to start. You have to see it. You have to see it. You have to walk with that vision in your spirit, and you have to live by it. I'm not going to do anything that's going to disrupt the vision that I see. I'm not going to do anything that is going to cause me to lose the goal that I have. And so let me put it this way. You're in college, you're going to school, and young people, you know, you don't want, and parents know this. We know this. You send your child off to college and you're hoping that they don't go to Grambling State or to Utah or to Colorado or any place. And instead of doing their studies, they get sidetracked. And now he has a child on the way and he's got to get a job to help take care of the child, or she's carrying the child and she can't finish school because of the discomfort of the pregnancy, you know, and different things, and then plan to go back. But the plan has been disrupted. And so we have to make sure we do not allow ourselves to be disrupted. And we have to take that same analogy that was just used and use it for whatever our goal is. Do not allow anyone to disrupt and cause you to lose your hope and cause you to alter the deed or take a detour of what you are living for. God proclaimed this through his word. Now, many like to quote this, and they have it. I've walked past people's desks and I see scriptures written that they have posted to remind themselves or others. But listen, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, it says, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgment which the Lord your God command you to teach, and that ye might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, and that in thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And so here we are reading, or what I've just read is from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is speaking to the people and says that you need to keep the commandments and the statutes, whatever God has established. And then you're going to teach them and you're going to do them in the land that you possess. And so wherever you are, you need to make sure that you keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which mean that you have to walk with an awareness of those presence. And so the commandments are present in our heart. The statutes are present in our heart, representing the presence of the Lord wherever we are. And so he goes on to say, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God our fathers have promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, many like to read that and they like to proclaim that being the head and not the tail. However, are we living by it? Hagar had to live by what God spoke to her. We have to live by what God has spoken in his word and the vision, because whatever vision God gives you, whatever dream God sends is going to be backed up by his word. You're not going to receive a rhema word from the Lord and there's no scripture or nothing to back it up. No. Whatever God says, there's going to be backed up by his word. There's going to be a scripture that will fulfill what he is saying. And so, as I mentioned this, because Hagar had to become a woman of integrity. Hagar couldn't just live as she did before. Now, if you go back into the 16th chapter of Genesis, and I had never paid attention to this before until as we've been in the book of Genesis, but when Hagar saw that she was pregnant, she took on a different attitude. And she took on a different attitude. And so Sarah did not like her attitude, and Sarah dealt harshly with her, and Hagar ran away. But then Hagar had to, God sent her back, told her to go back. And so she had to go back and deal with whatever. The Bible don't tell us how Sarah treated her when she returned back, but she was received and she was there up until this point. But Hagar had some, yes, Hagar felt a certain way, and we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that. And so here it is. It's a very humbling state that she's in now. And because Hagar, she had to become a woman of integrity. She had to become a woman. She had to practice righteousness because God, she's, first of all, she has the seed of Abraham in her possession in Ishmael. And so she had to live by what God showed her, because God would, in order for her to raise that child the way God wanted him to be raised, because he was going to be a great nation. The Bible said he was going to be wild. It didn't, because now I believe that, you know, there's that saying, and I said, I don't like to use a bunch of cliches, but I'm going to use this one: the apple don't fall far from the tree. And so you look at your DNA. There is some things that you see about yourself that, you know, if you look at your mom and you look at your dad, if you know them, and you can see a trait, you see something about yourself that that you can identify as being one of their characteristics. I was talking with one of my relatives and my little nieces and nephews was there, and I caught them paying attention very closely to what was being said, and they were commenting on how we sound so much alike. And it was interesting because didn't catch it, but they caught it and was kind of, they found that kind of amusing. I was at a service and my relatives was here. My auntie, a great auntie of mine was present, and we were eating, and I went to get some cake and chicken wings. Now I like cake and I like chicken wings, and I do like them together. And so I went to get some cake and chicken wings. And my auntie, while I was standing in line, my auntie said, "Nephew, bring me a slice of cake and some chicken wings." And she, and before I didn't even know she was paying attention to me. And she said, "That is the best. They go together perfectly." And I wanted to fall over because I had never knew that there was someone else in the family that liked cake and chicken wings. It's within the DNA. And so I found that very, not strange, but I found it very amusing, and I never forgot that. And so there is someone somewhere along the line. And so listen, so when I think about Ishmael being a wild man, I also think about his mom. And I think about how she reacted when she found out she was pregnant. It was no secret how she felt and how she pranced around at that time. Now, some of you want God to send a legion of angels to step into time and to give you revelatory knowledge. And he can, and he will. But many of the answers that we're looking for are in his word. Many of the answers that we're looking for is in the word of God. So what you get will be an utterance of the spoken word. All you have to do is listen. Listen carefully so that you can see it and that you can live by it. Now, gentlemen, they say that men don't listen. And I want to encourage you to learn and practice being a good listener. Now, we may practice and be a good listener at work, but I'm telling you, practice being a good listener everywhere, and you'll start to pick up on some things that are not being said, and which is going to make a difference in both your natural and your spiritual life. And this is important because God is concerned about our natural. 1 Corinthians 15 and 46 says, "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. While the Apostle Paul addressed certain aspects of our salvation, he points out to you and I that there are natural things. We're natural beings, and so we have to pay attention to those natural things. And so the natural, the basic things must be addressed. Now, let's recall the word of coming from Habakkuk. And I'm running out of time here. But listen, coming from Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk was facing a situation too. He was facing a situation. And the Bible said that he uttered these words, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved, when I'm corrected, when I'm rebuked, when I'm instructed." And the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision, make it plain." So there are some things that you see, write it down, make a note in your journal, make a note in your Bible, make a note wherever you make a note, but make a note of it because it's important because it will come back. I was preaching on Sunday at our Founders Day at the church that I grew up in and where my ministry was birthed out of, and was closing out the days of service there. And the message in which I preached was a note that was written back in July, to take it up a notch, was written, just the note itself to take it up a notch was written back in July, which was expounded upon in a day. So write it down. Write down what God gives you in that moment, because it will come back up again. And you're going to be able to look and say, "Man, I remember I had this from July, and now here it is, God is working with it. He's using it," you know? And so I could go on and talk about other testimonies, but time is not going to permit of what God is doing and what he is capable of doing and what he has done. Even in similar situations as Hagar is in, where things are stressful, anxiety is setting in, and you're trying to figure out what is going to happen in the next 10 days, what's going to happen in the next 20 days or the next 30 days. You're trying to understand that. But the Bible says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." And so whatever God has showed you, there is an appointed time for it to occur. And so, and at that time is going to speak, and it is going to speak, and it's not going to hold back. It is right now, it may seem like it's far off, but when it comes, and in between the process of it coming, we have to wait for it and know that it is surely going to come to pass. And so this is what Habakkuk is telling us. And he sums it up by saying, "The just shall live by their faith." We're going to live by faith. And what is faith? The substance of things hoped for, but yet it is the evidence of things that's not seen. I don't see it happening, but I know it will happen because God said it will happen. I don't see it happening, but I know it's going to happen because I saw it in my spirit, in my Noah, within my Noah, deep down in my belly. I can feel it. I know, and I know not to distrust or to lean any other way, but to wait on it. He points out to us that God's silent doesn't mean he is ignoring what is happening in our lives. God's silence does not mean he is ignoring what is going on in our lives. It doesn't mean that he doesn't see the situation. It doesn't mean that he don't get it. He gets it. He gets it. And the 20th verse says, "And God was with the lad." He was with Ishmael. "And he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer." Now, God covered Ishmael, kept him, strengthened him, gave him what he would need for success. That wildness that God said that he would be a wild man, that was part of his success. That was part of his success. So don't mistake someone's wildness or their characteristics as being a flaw. It may be what God is going to use for this success. And so giving us or what makes us or what is required of us is accessible. God makes something accessible for us is one thing. Taking advantage of the instructions and information is another. Now, people nod their head all the time. And I watch people in services that I've been to, services I've preached at, services I've taught at, and I love teaching. And so I watch people nod their head and take notes and everything. And then when you ask them about it, they don't recall. They can't elaborate on what they've taken notes on, or they've nodded their head in agreement, but it hasn't registered with them. Listen, I want to encourage you that not only to say amen and agree to the truth, but be aggressive with it. How aggressive are we when it comes down to the commandments and statutes of God? How aggressive are we when it comes down to what God is showing us? We need to be aggressive in our natural and in our spiritual. Now, being aggressive don't mean not having any humility and not asking and counseling with your pastor. Please counsel with your pastor and get their blessing up on things that you see and would like to get involved in when it comes down to church business. And so Ishmael matured and he learned to live and function in a new environment as becoming a professional marksman. And let's say that again. Now, remember, they're away from home. They're no longer with Abraham and Sarah. They're out on their own. And he learned to live and function in this new environment. And he became a professional marksman, which means he practiced. He practiced. He perfected being an archer. We have to do the same thing. We have to practice and perfect what we're doing. And he took it to the level so that he could hit his mark from wherever he was, he became that good. Are we practicing that same professionalism where we're able to hit the mark wherever we are? Whether it's math, reading, whatever your vocation is, whatever it calls for, you know, there was a gentleman who worked for ARCO and he's retired now. But he worked for ARCO and he had this testimony that he wasn't pushing to become a supervisor or anything like that, but he became the best. He became the best in working in his department to the extent that when there was a problem that others could not fix, they went to him. Even those that were over him, when they had a problem, they went to him. He didn't want the title. He wasn't pushing for that. But as a reward of them going to him so often, his finances increased. Now, when he retired with seven figures. And that was years ago. That was almost 20 years ago, his testimony. But he made sure that he became the best at what he did. And I think he set a precedent that we all can follow, and that is being the best that we could be in what we're doing. And so Ishmael became the best marksman. Wasn't no one going to outdo him in his wildness and his wild behavior. Man, you crazy. Yeah, he was crazy. But God raised 12 nations out of him and princes out of him, as he said he would. And so they were in the wilderness in Paran. And his mother took him a wife. She must have been a little something because she was crazy about him. She married him. Listen, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave it right there. But God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Wednesday Bible class. And let's hold on to what we have heard. You know, can you see it? And can you live by it? And sometimes we see it and we don't live by it, but let's live for the promise. Let's live for what God has said he is going to do with us, or with you and for you. All right. With that being said, Father, we thank you for your word this evening and ask that you would bless us, Lord God, as we, Lord God, carry your word, as we embrace it, as we live by it, knowing that you will fulfill all that you have spoken in our lives. And most of all, Lord God, even with those blessings, it does not supersede our soul salvation. We want to be saved. We want to be found pleasing in your sight. Lord, you said, without holiness, no man shall see you. Lord God, bless us to live and be found holy in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I want to encourage you that as we come to the close, this is the 20th day of September, the 20th day of September. And so we certainly want to remind you that we're fasting every Wednesday from 12 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join us in fasting and let your prayer be, Lord, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is going to go further than anything that you can imagine. And so let's make sure to pray about that. That's going to help you in witnessing. It's going to help you in living. It's going to help you in relationship. It's going to help you in finances. It's going to help you. And so let's remember that. Now, the question has been asked, what denomination are we? We are of the apostolic faith. And so apostolic means the apostles' teaching. We believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We believe a monotheistic view here. O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And we believe in the power of God, water baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. And so the Bible tells us that in the book of Luke, that the Lord opened their understanding and he told them that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. And so that's what we find the apostles doing throughout the book of Acts, that they preached and baptized in Jesus' name, as well as the laying on of hands being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I didn't say teaching anyone the Holy Ghost. I said the Spirit of the Lord provides that for those that are tarrying for the Holy Ghost. We believe in the administration of gifts that you'll find in Corinthians. And so we believe that the Lord is coming back again for church without spot or wrinkle. We are, and everyone in the world, all believers, human, every person, we're imperfect beings. There's nothing perfect about us, but we're perfect through Christ. And so the church is made up of imperfect people. However, through the sacrifice that was made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we are made perfect through him. It doesn't mean that we don't put forth all of our effort and wholeheartedly serve the Lord as he told us to do in Deuteronomy. The Bible tells us that we should wholeheartedly serve him, seek him. That's what we do. And we apply that even in our natural lives, where in our natural lives, as we've been talking about this evening, we apply the word of God as well to be the best at what we can be. In other words, there should not be, at the end of the day, there should not be anyone that can point a finger of accusation against you, at least not a true finger of accusation. Anyone can make up, can fabricate something, but it don't have to be true. And so the apostolic faith, apostolic simply means apostles' doctrine. That's what it means. And so we are of the apostolic faith. All right. And as far as our belief in faith, we believe that that Jesus is God. 1 Timothy 3:16, for God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world and received up into glory. We believe that he's coming back again. And so we don't know when. No one has the date, time, hour, but we know that we must be ready. And the only way to be ready, as I said earlier, is to live holy. Leviticus tells us to live holy. Deuteronomy speaks about it, as well as the writer of Hebrews reiterating it again, saying that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so repentance, if you read throughout the scripture, the Bible speaks about repentance. And so repentance is something that we do daily. Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily. And so with that being said, With that being said, we're able to live a life to the Lord. Caller, I have you on. You want to?
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, and yourself?
I'm doing good. What's your name?
This is Pastor Carl Henderson.
Can I call you Henderson?
Henderson, yes.
Henderson, how you doing?
I'm doing well. And your name?
My name is Chris.
Hi, Chris. Nice to hear from you.
You know, Anathan, I wanna talk to you about something, and can I talk to you about something?
Yes, but no, we're live on the air right now, so if you don't mind, then yes.
Okay. There's an ongoing thing going on. Do you know what eBuys is?
Say it again.
eBuys, like Best Buys, you know what that is?
Explain to it for everyone to make sure everyone has a good understanding.
Okay, eBuys is like a group, you get matched with a friend. And, you know, the thing is, Sean took Emily from me. And, you know, Sean took Emily from me and, you know, and he was yelling in the ear. And, you know, I went on Outside podcast and Outside said, it's not in Sean's business what you and Emily do as friends. And, you know, I know Emily's going to come back as a friend, but Sean doesn't have a say with that. Like, and I said, okay, I need to do something. So I went and get Stormy. And Stormy, I said to Stormy, can you do this? To do the things that Emily do, because Emily is not the hell here. And Stormy said, yes, of course I'm going to fill in for Emily. But it's not right that Sean did that to you. But, but now it's up to Emily. What she decides is up to her, not Sean.
Well, listen, you know, one thing for sure is that we cannot control what other people do.
Yeah.
You know, we have to control what we do. And as you know, and that's it. That's the bottom line to everything. And as long as what we're doing is right, you know, and what we're doing is correct, then that's as far as we can go with it. You know, everyone makes a choice. Everyone follows whatever persuasion that they're going to allow to master them. But we have to make sure that what we do is correct. So, that's it. No one does anything that they don't want to do.
That's correct. Because, the thing is that I say to myself every time that Emily is a good friend for me to have. Because the friends I have a long time ago, like Michael, Darius, they are not great at it. And they are not always there. They're not always there. And Michael's mom is not always there.
Okay, let me ask you this. When you say friend, you're talking about a regular friend or are you talking about companion?
I'm talking about a friend, like a best friend. Like Emily is sweet and kind to the point where Michael and Darius are not there. Like, you know, they are not with it.
Okay. All right. So that's, you know, so you're talking about friendship and how someone acts and how they don't act. But again, that is their character. And when you talk about character, you have to find a character that matches, you know, what you're looking for. You don't, if a person is not acting the way that you want them to act in the relationship, then you have to eventually find a different friendship.
Yeah,
a different associate. All right.
Yeah.
Now, Emily is, sound like you said that Emily's a friend, Michael is a friend, and Derek, all of these people are friends there. And so there's a friendship relationship and you're questioning their ability to maintain the type of friendship that you want.
What's this guy's name? A tub guy. That's his name.
Well, that's him. But let's talk about what you've been talking about.
Yeah.
All right. So you're talking about friendship. You're talking about friendship that's not where you want it to be at. And so,
you know, I can say that Emily is a nice and good friend to the point where Michael and Darius, like, you know, the friendship with me and Michael for 12 years went nowhere. Darius went nowhere still because, you know, he, with his memory loss, he doesn't remember the friendship from a long time ago. And That's the point. We are getting him out of the house, and he's still grumpy. He said, what's the point you get me on Hay Now? So, go bug Michael or something.
Okay, well, you know what? That's a relationship that's something that we would have to discuss more off the air. Yeah. You know, and so right now, you know, the focus on the relationship that we're talking about is a relationship with the Lord. And so so let's table that. If you would like to talk more about a friendship relationship that is outside of what we're talking about, and that is the relationship with Christ, then please reach out to us at connectingtruth.org, because that is going to take a little time. All right.
Okay.
All right. Next caller, we have time one more call, and before we close out of this session, so please feel free to call in. Hi, you've got Pastor Carl on.
Hey, Pastor.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
Doing well. Having a good night.
Good. Where are you calling from? What area?
Central United States, Missouri.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. Appreciated your prayer and your response to my questions.
Okay.
So really just thank you for what you're doing. I hope I can support you. Yeah. Keep up the good work. I'm very impressed by the little I've heard, but it was really enjoyable. And I think there's hope in the word when you begin to understand certain words like faith and forgiveness and repentance.
Yes.
And so I think right now, perhaps like a lot of people maybe haven't defined those words for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
And so I loved your message. I loved your prayer that I heard. I got in at the very end and like you literally went into prayer. So I didn't hear a lot of what you talked about on your episode, but, you know, certainly I'll be listening for you. I think that was sounded very good. I really, really appreciate what you're doing, man.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, to God be the glory, and please hold me up in prayer. Lord, remember Pastor Carl Anderson, you know, because it's all about him. And I'm just one that's, you know, I'm humbled by what God is
doing. Humble conduit.
Yes. He's done a lot for me, and I'm grateful, you know, for what he has done.
So what's one of the bigger moments God has acted in your life?
You know, deliverance. I have to say it's deliverance, because God did such a turnaround in my life that my mother saw it, and she joined church right afterwards.
Yeah.
My sister saw it. My brother saw it. And all of them are now in church. And I don't mean that I was following behind them, telling them, you need to go to church. You need to serve the Lord. They saw what God did in my life, which speaks volumes of what my life must have been before.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
I'm sure we can relate, honestly. I mean, yeah, a little bit of a rocky background here, so
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And so that's, you know, I reflect back on the deliverance that God has brought.
Has it been a process, or was it an overnight thing?
You know, I was, and I said this Sunday afternoon, if I preached at the church that I grew up in on Sunday, and the message is posted on the podcast. It's called Take It Up a Notch.
Okay.
And so I did talk about how I was an individual that said I would never go to church. I'm not going to church.
Did you grow up in church?
I had been in church, and I said I was not ever returning.
Why? What age?
In my teens. And so now I was in my 20s, and things was spiraling out of in a different direction, and I didn't understand, and I didn't know what to do.
And where were you living? What were you doing?
We're in Southern California.
Oh, okay. And that's where you were in your 20s?
In the Pasadena area.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I said I wasn't going. I didn't want to go or anything like that. And so I was into a lot of stuff. I was what you call a functioning dependent. I worked two jobs. I was taking care of my family and everything, but I was also, you know, I wasn't functioning unless I was intoxicated.
Oh, okay. On pills, drugs, alcohol?
On a lot of smoking and chewing mushrooms and stuff like that.
Okay.
Even at work.
Right.
And so I recall an incident where the supervisor walked up to me. We were at a grand opening in Los Angeles, and he walked up to me, and it was about me. It was getting dim outside, and he looked at my eyes, and he just shook his head and walked away. You know, you know, and I look back at stuff like that. And the reason I mention that is because when I got baptized in that moment, that went away. And that was in 1990. And I've not touched any influence, any substance or anything like that since then, 1990. And, you know, so that was an instant. That was a moment that something instantly occurred.
Yeah.
Everything else has been a process. And so I had a fantastic pastor that taught me the word of God. And one of the things that the pastor used to say was learn, and it comes from the book of Amos, learn to hate evil and to love the good. And so as that became part of my life, then that process began to take over. And the other thing that the pastor taught us was that salvation is not a sprint. You get in, people get in and they sprint through it, and I'm saved now, and now I could carry a Bible and go places and tell others. No, it's a marathon. And you have to sit down and learn. You have to unlearn some things and learn things the right way in order to live this life. And it's going to take time.
Very nice.
So,
okay. So how do you feel about alcohol?
Personally, I don't drink.
Right.
You know, anything that will cloud my judgment, or, you know, because I believe that my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And so therefore, I don't drink or anything like that. I do know people that drink wine and different things, but I don't get into that with them until I see that it is disrupting their life.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, right. And I agree with that.
Now, I find that most people that I know of, I would have to say the majority of people do not drink.
Yes. So surrounding yourself by good influences, right? That's pretty correct. Important.
Yes.
Right. But, you know, I don't know. I guess I've always wondered about, you know, Jesus was said to have had shared a meal with tax collectors and sinners, if I believe that was said.
It says that he turned the water to wine.
There was another dinner where he was having dinner with, and the Pharisees questioned that.
Well, that was, and their questioning the issue is that you know, why isn't he, how come he's not chilling with us? That really what that was coming down to. They wanted, they had a whole thing of, they felt prestigious. Remember, The Lord speaks about them, you know, that they go into the marketplace. They want people to recognize them as being, you know, oh, there's Pastor so-and-so, there's Pastor Armstrong standing in the marketplace. You know, hey, Reverend, that's what they were tripping off of.
But did it not have anything to do with what they partake in?
No, this was strictly about them and him chilling with people that they thought was degenerates.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. So, okay. Well, very nice, man. Hey, so what are your goals?
What do you mean as far as our podcast that we're, cause we're, you know, we're
like kind of your purpose on here. Do you have a goal to reach or,
you know, our goal is the saving of souls. Yeah. And I encourage people because I know everyone is spread out, you know, on different locally in the U.S. and some on other continents, is to wherever you're a member at, be faithful. Be faithful to wherever you are a member. Pray yeah. for your pastor. Ask the ministers questions, you know, because they're obligated to answer those questions. Ask them Bible questions, you know, so that you're educated. That's the whole purpose of ministry, is education for the perfecting of the saints, you know, till we all measure up to be like Christ and no one else. And be faithful to where you are, you know, and then that is the undercurrent, you know. We're looking to grow our ministry locally here in Southern California, at our church as well. And so we do a lot of outreach, you know, and this is one of the outreaches is part of, so that people can listen in live to service. Same thing on Sundays, our Sunday morning service message is live as well.
Okay, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you having me on. This was really enjoyable, and I look forward to listening to you some more.
Appreciate you calling in, and thank you. And again, please remember us in prayers as we're praying for you.
All right, man. Good luck.
All right. God bless.
Yep.
And we thank God for those that have called in this evening, and certainly we appreciate everyone taking time to be part of the service. And so as we close out this evening, again, remember us in prayer, fast with us. You know, we're fasting again on Wednesdays from 12 a.m. to 3 p.m. And with that being said, wherever you are, just repeat after me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless. Share our broadcast inside the pages with others. You'll find us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Play, and a host of other services out there. God is blessing, and certainly pray for us as we are looking for the growth of the ministry and others to share the word of God as well. All right. God bless you.